mawazo na vio, amena uja na muka tuyo, avina mucha tumano choyo, avina mucha nuigago. Everything else can wait. Give me your heart. I hope I'm not too late. Oh, give me your everything else can go away. Oh, give me your I hope I'm not too late.
Go ahead wherever you are. Submit yourself to the Lord. Commit your desires, your expectations. Declare how helpless you are without His touch. Register why you have come. Go ahead and make your desire known. Make yourself helpless before Him. Break yourself before Him. Go ahead and humble yourself before Him. God is set to grant us indelible encounters tonight. I need you to know what is about to happen to you, because God has never been known to waste people's time. He says they appeared before Him and their faces were enlightened. They go from strength to strength, all of them that appeared before God in Zion. So it is consistent with God's ways to empower, to bless, to enrich, to add to us every time we congregate before His presence. This is why I am persuaded that you are not permitted to come and return the same way you came. Something tangible must happen in your life, and the extent to which that transformation will be wrought is totally dependent on your expectation. How much are you desperate tonight? I know we came here in a crowd, but our encounters will come as individuals. That is why I need you to isolate an encounter for yourself. Your friend might be by your side, but as we take flight, there's no friendship. It's just you and the Holy Ghost. You know why you came. You are holding on to something. If you have your expectation cards, quickly bring them out as a custom that we'll do this year. If you don't have an expectation card, just identify with a raise of your hand. The ushers will quickly, emphasis on quickly, there's no waste of time, distribute that card. You have 7 expectations to write before the God of Zion, to write before the God of all flesh, to bring before the God of all possibilities. Write 7 areas of your life that you are trusting God for His hand to be made manifest in your life at the course of this year. And as we come and we tarry, you will realize that as God continues to encounter us, most of those mountains will dematerialize in His presence. Go ahead. Ushers, please, can you raise your hand above your head?
Those of us who have our expectation card, quickly, don't worry. If you are just receiving it, you can write later at home the prayer points in your heart, right? Hold that card as a point of contact. I give you 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Drive priesthood into that thing you are holding. 5 minutes. He says, and you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Be thou removed. This mountain. I need you to take 5 minutes and press, press, press. 5 minutes of deliberateness. 5 minutes of focus. 5 minutes of deliberateness into that matter in your destiny. Don't be quiet, don't be quiet, don't be quiet. Surely there is an end. Surely there is an end. And the expectation of the just shall not be cut short. These expectations, they serve as points of contact. Go ahead. Go ahead. Surely there is an end. The expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. Hard for you to do. I know my challenge is nothing before you. Is somebody tired? That expectation card on your hand, I know it's nothing before you. I know it does not take you anything to change my situation.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 Listen. When you ever feel incapacitated, when you ever feel helpless about any situation, whatever has become bigger than your control, your last resort is prayer. Prayer. I know I cannot, but God can. I know I don't know what next to do, but I can involve a hand. I can engage a realm that is superior. My helplessness notwithstanding, if God commits himself to this matter, I know I am settled. That is why you have those expectations card on your hand. When you are filling it up, don't write the things men can do for you. It's not a prayer point. Write only the hand of God, the things it can take only God to do. This is how we believe God this year. Lord, touch the heart of Uncle this. That's not a prayer point. It's not a prayer point. See, I need somebody to look at their life and look at where God is taking you to in the light of your expectation. So that as you are tarrying, this is the year of bringing forth. It means there are dimensions, there are realities, there are prophecies that are hanging over the destinies of people that will begin to find expression this year. Because the previous year was like the travail. There was sorrow, there was pet punk, there was all kinds of turbulence. But this year, you bring forth. That's what the Lord told us. So we went through last year in the light of what he was doing. There are people who are heavily pregnant with destiny. In a year like this, you cannot be behind. Take one more minute, and begin to appreciate God for the things on your list, for the things that you have in your expectation card. Begin to appreciate him. Begin to appreciate him. For somebody, you are thanking him. Thank you for the open doors, the contracts. They are opening for me. The gates to nations are opening for me. Thank you for my health that is restored. Go ahead and thank the Lord. Turn to your left and to your right. Welcome somebody to God's presence and be gloriously seated in the house of God. You will have to forgive my voice. We've literally been laboring for the past 3 days. And so, I'll try as much as I can to not put so much pressure on my voice. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It's a very popular Bible verse. We use it as the conclusion of our meeting. We call it the grace, and we share it every time we want to bring Christian inclined meetings to a close. However, tonight, by the leading of the Holy Ghost, we want to consider part of the light that is being communicated by this scripture. Everybody, it is projected. Can we read together at the count of two? One, two, go. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now, let's take it one more time. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see a comma there? Amen. Is there a comma there? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, comma, and the love of God, comma, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. That you can identify the different personalities in the Trinity, all being given
unique role in what they will supply. They are not different, but they are actually operating different forms of ministry to men. And the Bible says the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship or the communion of the Holy Spirit. So, for our Lord Jesus Christ, His relationship with us is by grace. Because as long as that which He has done is concerned, the totality of His labor is to communicate grace to mankind. For that which man has done, for man to be able to be restored to God, it must be Jesus holding the hand of man and bringing man back to God, like a child that misbehaved and escaped from house, and then a friendly neighbor is holding his hand to come and beg the parents to not discipline him because the parents are already angry. It's like you know you are wrong and you went to report yourself to somebody who will help you reconcile you to the authorities. Are we together? Now, that person holding your hand is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is bringing you to the Father. The Father will only accept this because of love. It is by His love that even this sacrifice of Jesus that He is trying to bring us into, because it is while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. So His death is in the light that we would now be brought into this work. Not like we have already showed our remorse before He died. We were still in rebellion before He died. And so it was Jesus that will hold our hands and bring us to the Father. It is the Father that will accept us through His love. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what He has done, meaning that there is somebody that wants to come and take your blame. That is Jesus. There is somebody that is willing to take your fault. That is Jesus. There is somebody that is willing to throw himself between the wrath of God and you. That is Jesus. So that person that is willing to take the blame for your own fault is the grace of our Lord. Now, the love of God is the only premise. It is because of that love that even this sacrifice that Jesus has done will be accounted for us. It is because of that love that God will look past us and blame Jesus. So the Bible says, the love of God. If Jesus held your hand and brought you, if the Father accepted the explanation of Jesus that you are truly sorry, it is the Holy Spirit that will now empower you to make sure you don't do what you did before again. So, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The reason why His own is fellowship is that He is going to continue with you. He is going to need to share contact with you. There will be need for koinonia. There will be need for interaction. And the reason for that is to enable you and strengthen you not to violate the ordinance of God anymore. So if this prayer truly happens in anybody's life, as we are quoting it every day, if it truly happens in your life, you will live adhering to the total instructions of God. First is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, I want to dwell more on just that very first sentence, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The title of my discourse is Grace, the Mystery of Exchange. Grace, the Mystery of Exchange. Grace, the Mystery of Exchange. If I have time, and if God permits, if Christ tarries, maybe next week I will teach on love, the nature of God. And then subsequently I will share on fellowship, the assignment of the Holy Spirit. Then you will see exactly what each dimension of the Godhead was intended to achieve in your life. The revelation of Jesus is grace. The revelation of Jesus is grace. And in the course of this discourse, you will begin to realize the capacities and the power that is inherent in grace. Because many of us, our understanding of grace, most of the times, is basically the definitions flying around. People just hear grace, and the only thing that comes to their heart is unfair advantage, undeserved favor. There are many other, you know, definitions being put forward, but I think the ruling ones is undeserved favor and unfair advantage. If you are writing, quickly take these things down. God's grace is usually defined as undeserved favor or unfair advantage. God's grace is usually defined as undeserved favor or unfair advantage. However, this grace was procured at the expense of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when you look at grace as undeserved favor or unfair advantage, there is a strength that should be generated through the particular pathway of grace that we may not be able to maximize if we truly don't understand what went into the ground to secure grace for us. Yes, it is unfair advantage. Yes, it is undeserved favor. But that undeserved favor that you are enjoying, somebody paid the price for it. It was not given to you just because of the benevolence of God. It was given because of the justice of God. It is because somebody paid for it, that is why it is now your own. I'm trying to say to somebody that the reason why grace is that effective is because somebody merited it. And it will be unfair that it is not given to you because it was paid for. For instance, you are hungry and you are in a restaurant. And everybody in that restaurant knows that it's because of hunger you came. However, you don't have any money in your pocket to order a meal, but you are hungry. Now, if a person shows up and says, I am going to pay for anybody that enters this restaurant today, do not ask them for money. Just serve them food. Meaning that if anybody is seen inside that restaurant, no need to ask you, are you hungry? They know that hunger brought you here. So immediately, you serve food. But that food that is coming for you free is not free, because somebody paid for it. The reason why they are now serving free food in the restaurant is not because they are kind. It's not out of kindness. It's because the restaurant is a business and truly transaction was done. But it was done in the behind. It was done in the background. It was done in a plane where men do not see. So when you come and you eat it freely, you didn't eat free food. So grace is not free. It was paid for. You are just not the one that paid for it. The moment you now realize this, it begins to give you a perception of grace that negates that tendency for exploiting it and abusing it rather. When you know that a price went into the ground for this, you will know grace, although it is unfair advantage, although it is undeserved favor, is not free. Somebody paid for it. This is why, when you look at the scripture I made reference to in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it began with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you a few things that actually characterizes the nature of God. Why you now appreciate what grace truly is. In Psalm 89, verse 14, quickly, I hope it is projected so that we have an appreciation for what God has for us tonight. Everybody, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Say, justice and judgment are the habitation. Another rendition says, are the foundation of your throne. So your throne is built upon justice and judgment. It means when you sit dishing out your counsel, you will never do it outside justice and judgment. It's because of these things. That's why even Satan comes before that throne as an advocate, because he knows that he too can receive justice. Do you know that Satan can bring accusation before a child of God and win the child of God? Of the many names that Satan has sustained in the eternal realm, one that stands chiefest among the angels is the accuser of the brethren. Where do you think that ministry happened? The accusation. Do you accuse men with men? He brings that accusation before the throne. The reason why he counts on the fact that he may win is because he knows that the foundation of the throne is justice. And justice means everybody will get a fair hearing. God will not use favoritism as the reason to favor you. God will not use "I like you" as the reason to favor you. So, because God wanted to favor us, God needed to punish somebody. So that the scale will be even. So that it's not just because he likes us, but that the scale of divine justice is met. Because the foundation of his throne is justice and what? Judgment. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." Meaning that no matter how much God is merciful, mercy alone will not make him forgive you. It is because of mercy that God needed to provide for himself a lamb. Because he wanted to show you mercy, but that mercy must align with his nature as just. Because the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned. So if sin should bring death and all have sinned, it means all should die. So God wanted to now forgive the sin of all. So he needed the shedding of blood so that everything still aligns to justice and judgment. So that when you check his ways, you will see it is consistent with his laws. Even him is not ready to break his law. He honors his word more than his name. He binds himself to his word. On the strength of this rigid protocol around the government in heaven, this is why it became very clear that God will not violate the law that he has set just because he wanted a judgment for you to favor you. He will have to now make the provision to take the blame so that there is somebody to blame for that crime, so that when you enter into the place of judgment, you can find the... Hey, see, I hope you know that the very reason why Jesus died, if our sin was not imparted to him, if God did not put our sin upon him, death would have not had the capacity to take him. Because it is the wages of sin that is supposed to be death. Can death take a man that has no sin? The only entrance to death is sin. If you have no sin, you cannot die. So the reason why he died is because by himself, through his own choosing, he accepted our sin. So he took upon him our own sin, so that if he can now die because of a sin that he did not commit, through him now, we too can now live through his own righteousness that he has given to us. Another way I want to define grace, as God gives us the opportunity tonight, I will be proposing a unique definition of grace as we continue on our discourse. Our relationship with God is established and it is sustained by grace. Meaning that the relationship started by grace, and our capacity to maintain the relationship too will be sustained by grace. It means that there is no way you can actually keep tabs with God outside of his grace. Now, I want you to see what I mean by the grace. Our relationship with God was established by grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 8 and 9, what does it mean by our relationship is established by grace? The scripture says, "For by grace are ye saved." Through what? Faith. "And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Verse 9. "Not of works, lest any man should" what? So, what saved you? Your relationship with God started only by grace. Because it is by grace that you were saved. Have you ever thought about the implication of this scripture? Meaning that you didn't show remorse, but they saved you. You didn't even know that you are wrong. You were still nailing him. You were in front of him. He was naked on the cross. He was there in agony. You were still telling him that if you are the Son of God, prove that you are the Son of God by delivering yourself. You are that thief that told him, save yourself and save us. You are the soldiers that were down at his foot telling him that if he is truly the Son of God, let him deliver himself. And his one utterance, that is grace personified. He says, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. You know what grace does? Grace is looking for excuses for you all the time. When grace saw what you were doing, he knew that if God wants to judge you now, you will be condemned. So grace, use ignorance as your only defense. He says, it's because they do not know. Please forgive them. This is the basis. This is the basis of our relationship. Now, this is where our relationship started from grace. Our relationship is also sustained by grace. What do I mean by it is sustained by grace? Titus chapter 2, very quickly, verse 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. After the grace of God has saved you, it is that same grace that will sustain you living in compliance with the law of God. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Look at verse 12. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So, grace will not only save you, the grace will also teach you to deny ungodliness. If you see anybody using grace as a criterion, as a license for lasciviousness, for sin, for lukewarmness, for compromise, it's because they do not know that the grace of God is also the facility by which we can live up. So the grace will teach us to deny ungodliness. If you truly know grace, it will impact on you fear for God and reverence for Him. When you see what He has done, the only response that will be in your heart is that I do not deserve this. And because of that sense of not deserving it, you will want to be. You see, the second scripture I read for you in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, is that grace can enable you to live above corruption. It's called enabling grace. The first scripture I read out for us is called saving grace. For by grace are ye saved. But this one, it enables you to live above. Grace can teach you. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Is this consistent with the ruling opinion and perception of grace? Where somebody tells you that the grace of God, if you understand grace, you will know that you can never lose your salvation. Yes, yes, we know that some of these things can be applied and you can interpret it. However, as long as this is the premise by which you are actually bringing these things forward, it becomes for many people a license for sin. So you see a person living in corruption and he is quick to say, if the moment you are trying to show them the areas of their life that needs adjustment and compliance with the law of God, they say, the Bible says, judge not. Judge not. Thou shalt not judge. Listen. He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, grace can teach you. Grace can teach you. There is a way you apprehend a mystery of the grace of God, and suddenly you enter a consciousness of how undeserving you are. That consciousness breaks you before the grace. Thank you, Jesus.
Shines on me. Shines on me. He's your.
Look at me. This is the power of grace. It removes your eye from yourself, grace. It removes your eye from yourself. Removes your eye from your own work. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. It removes your eye. Because as long as you can, the only accusation Satan can bring is, look at what you did. So if your strength, if your confidence that you are righteous is not in you again, how can he accuse you? So we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is the reason why your conscience cannot be perturbed. Can you take 1 minute and appreciate God for grace? Just thank you.
Shines on me. Shines on me. Praise it. Shines on me. Shines on me. Shines on me.
It's the capacity that we use it, the most exploited laws in the spirit. Witches and wizards use it. Herbalists use it. Demons, herbalists use it. Demons use it. Even God use it. And you know, Satan was once an angel of light, and he makes these tools available to his cohorts. I will show you a few examples. I will show you a few examples that would actually corroborate my point. When sicknesses are lifted, when afflictions are lifted, of illness are lifted from the bodies of people, where do you think it goes? Does it disappear? When a person comes probably with an ailment, and maybe upon him is, let's say, for example, HIV or leprosy or cancer eating up their body, and you now come and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, what did you think you just did? Why did you engage that whole transaction in the name of Jesus? Why must Jesus' name be involved? Did you remember the poisonous serpent in the wilderness during the Exodus that began to afflict the children of Israel, and they began to die in their numbers because of their disobedience against God and their rebellion against Moses? When the serpent began to kill them in their numbers, they ran to Moses and cried. What did Moses do? He carried one of the serpents, one of the snake, and lifted it up on a staff, on a stick, and kept it up, hung it up high where men can see. And then Moses said unto them, if any of you is bit by this snake, and your eye can look on the snake. Remember, it is snake that is biting, but it is also a snake that is hung on the stick. So if you can look at this particular snake that is lifted up, he says, although there is poison in your body, because you looked at this snake, there will be a law of exchange. It means, since this one has been hung to die, we have used one as a victim. We have used one as the scapegoat. Remember, it is snake. It is snake that is causing the problem. It means it is snake too that must be lifted. It is man that committed the crime. That is why God cannot just sit in heaven and say, I forgive everybody. It means man too must pay the price. That is why God must become man, so that it is man that suffered. Are we together? Now, when you begin to look at what is going on, you will see that it is Adam, a man, that brought us into corruption. It is also Jesus, the last Adam, a man, that took us out of corruption. Tell me, on what ground did Moses carry it and lift it up? that if the reason why this snake was biting people in the first place was because they violated the law of God and they rebelled against Moses, it means God will put the blame of this thing that you are about to die for on another. The mystery of exchange. John, very quickly. Meanwhile, the scripture that supports the narration of the serpent I just read out for us is Numbers chapter 21 from verse 6 to 9. Numbers 21, 6 to 9. John chapter 3, verse 14. Everybody, it is projected. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be what? So that serpent that was lifted was a dimension of grace. That is grace in the Old Testament. That is God sneaking grace into the Old Covenant to show you that if I'm going to forgive you for what you have done, somebody must suffer. I'm telling you that the act of benevolence, because the foundation of his throne is justice and judgment, so it must be fair what he does. Let me show you another example that will help corroborate our point. Number two, the leprosy of Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 27. The leprosy of Naaman. You know, Gehazi acted in carnality. And so, to save you the stress of all the long reading, after he had done all what he has done, when he returned before Elisha looked at him and said, "Therefore, the leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto you. And unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. Listen, I hope you knew that this leprosy they are talking about, Naaman has been cured of it. Let's talk now. I hope you know Naaman came as a Syrian general and he didn't even get the opportunity to see Elisha face to face. Elisha told his servant, "Go and tell him he should go and wash himself in the Jordan." Because he could not even give his attention to Naaman, Naaman got offended and said, "He couldn't even come and see me." And then the slave girl advised him and said, "You have journeyed this far. Is it a simple instruction now that will now discourage you? Why don't you just go ahead and do what he said you should do?" So he never had the chance to even behold Elisha. He just left him an instruction, a prophetic instruction. Now, as he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, on the 7th time, the carnal mind will say, "Naaman is healed. Naaman has been cured." However, Naaman's leprosy was still hanging around. So look at what Elisha did. He says, "Let that same leprosy that was on Naaman." So he did not say, "Let leprosy come on you." He says, "The one that left Naaman, let it come on you." It means when affliction lifts from a person, it does not disappear. The reason why afflictions are cured in this kingdom is because there is a sacrificial lamb. It is nailed to him. That is why. It is swallowed up by his sacrifice. This is why part of the provision of redemption is divine healing. The Bible says by his stripes. Meaning that part of your allotment on the strength of the finished work of Christ is that he labored for your healing. So that you are not begging for healing. Healing was secured for you. It's part of the free food they serve in the restaurant. The leprosy of Naaman. The person they are calling the leprosy of. The person is no longer leprosy. But they register that it is him that hosted this infirmity. And since he left him, since you have decided to act in an ungodly manner, carry that infirmity and let it be on your children. Let me give you one more example. Because there is need for us to establish these things before we take flight. Here in Africa, because I know there are many people following us from different parts of the globe. Here in Africa, when people have fractures, bone fractures, that are practically impossible, you know, to treat and manage, they resort to traditional medicine or solution. And if you take it to a skilled traditionalist, what he does is that he establishes a Bluetooth connection. It's like Zender, a pairing. He tells that person who is a victim to bring a sacrificial animal. And for most situations, it's a chicken. A healthy chicken. When he shoots the man, then he tells you that he's the human being. You can go home. And he admits the chicken. He breaks the chicken's leg. Since you, there's a bone that is broken. Drawing the chicken's leg. I know you are a very busy man, so they discharge you and say, go on, be facing your work. But every time he begins to draw the chicken's leg, you, where you are, you start feeling pain. So he has no business treating you. He's treating the chicken. The day the chicken starts putting down his leg on the ground, you too, you start walking. This is in the demonic order. This is not even light. In darkness, they understand exchange. What do you think happens to old witches and wizards when they want to die? They transfer their estate to another. Their throne must be transferred. So any child that they love, any child that they truly like, they will make sure that they bring that child into their estate. So it does not matter your age. Even as a baby, you can become a warlock because you inherited a scepter from somebody. What do you think old witches do also when they want to die and they know that they still have assignments? They initiate exchange. A witch can be sick as though they want to die. 1 minute, they just call one little girl, do as if they want to send the girl. That is why the elders in the village, there is a way something will be happening, they will advise all young people, stay away from that house. Don't go near there. 1 minute, you will see the person as though they will die in 1 second. But the moment they are able to establish that exchange with the young one, suddenly, you see Baba recover suddenly. And a sudden affliction come upon one young person, and the person died. He has gained extra 20 years. The mystery of exchange. You are the only... Ishanda is my witness. We were in the same class in the university. There's a boy called Abba. He does not read, and he does not attend class. But he comes to exams to use your own brain to write. He comes from a place in Zaria they call Kuspa. If you know where Kuspa is, you will know that it's the place where they prepare you for the impossible. He enters exam hall prepared, because we our preparation is mental, but he comes with eyes. So he looks for the person who is good in that course. The person who is good in that course, he identifies you. Then he sits directly behind you in the exam hall. The moment he sits down, you forget where you are. Then he writes, he exhausts the page. When he submits, you will now realize that you are inside example. So it is until he is done using you that he can release you to you. Then you will be so confused because the lecturer is saying 5 minutes more. What can you do with the time now? Then he leaves majestically because he knows how to initiate the mystery of exchange. Listen, don't let anybody lie to you. We live in a very spiritual world. There are laws being engaged night and day, and those who know their God will be strong and they will do exploits. It is because of this that is why exchange is also a possibility in the kingdom. That a person died on the cross, but they said you are the one that died. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. When did we ever see you? Are you not lying? How did you claim now that you were on the cross? It's the mystery of exchange. Nevertheless, I live. You know what it means? What did you think happened in Egypt when death came upon the land of Egypt? But it didn't touch Goshen. Why did you think nobody died in Goshen that night when firstborns were dying inside Egypt? It is because there was a sign of blood on their doorposts And that sign of blood was a mystery in the spirit that death understands. That blood was a signal that somebody has died here already. And it is appointed unto men only once to die. So you cannot come and kill this person twice. He has died already. So as death saw the blood, it passed over them. It passed over. See, this is why when you understand the grace, you will know when to use the blood of Jesus, when to use the name of Jesus. You will know how to dispense spiritual life. There are times some people see themselves in danger and the first thing they want to do is, they don't even know that they are saying that name of Jesus out of fear. When you want to hide, let's pray for a minute, wherever you are. We thank you, Lord, for this great, great possibility you have opened for us. We thank you for this great privilege that we can be numbered in you. For us this night. Listen, you will know why you deserve anything you are asking for. You are not asking because you are right. You are not asking because you merit it. You are not asking because you deserve it. You are asking because it was paid for. I think in 2 Peter now, it says by his stripes we were healed. Peter says it has been done already. It's time to withdraw. You can believe God for anything now because you deserve it. You deserved it in Christ Jesus. You merit it in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you did in your past. I don't care what mistake happened. You are not expecting any judgment because Jesus was judged on your behalf. Listen, look at me, please. Look at me. I know your grandfather entered a covenant. I know your great-grandfather entered an agreement. But because of the mystery of exchange, you can sign another agreement. If any man be in Christ, he is, at any point he enters, he is a new creature. All things, every covenant, every agreement, every initiative, all things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Dimensions, for you see, the grace, it is the platform by which we were brought into the brotherhood. It is also the platform by which we are sustained. It is by grace we were saved, so our salvation was routed through grace. When you hear Jesus saying, I am the way, I am the way, nobody can come to the Father except through me. He's telling you that it is by my sacrifice that anybody can now meet God. You are mighty on your throne. Time is not on our side. Take a moment and sit down. We have yet a journey ahead of us. I divide my teaching tonight into three subheadings. I will run through them as quick as possible. Point number one, the Lamb of God. In brackets, you can write the one
who it will be laid on. The one who it will be laid on. The Lamb of God, the one it will be laid on. The Lamb of God, the one it will be laid on. John chapter 1, very quickly, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. Everybody, let's read together as quick as we can. One, two, go. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What does John mean by the Lamb of God? What happens to the lamb that is sacrificed? What happened to a lamb that is prepared for an offering? What happens to a lamb that is an object of sacrifice? When John was saying, Behold, the Lamb of God, he was fulfilling the verdict that God spoke to Abraham. Did you remember God telling Abraham to carry his only son, the one whom he loveth, and offer him as a burnt offering to him in sacrifice? Did you remember when Abraham made up his mind to obey that sacrifice after binding the lad, putting him upon the altar, and lifted up his sword to smite the boy? He heard the voice of the Lord calling from heaven. He says, Do not do it. I, the Lord, will provide a lamb. That promise he made is not in that ram whose horn was hooked inside grass. He was telling Abraham that I will provide the lamb that will truly be worthy of a sacrifice. And nearly 900 years later, directly opposite that mountain is Calvary, where God brought a lamb and sacrificed it. And it was the best that he had. Then you will now see that as much as it pertains to this matter of addressing Jesus as the Lamb of God, there was little or nothing that Jesus was going to do on his own account. He came to die. That is his mission. It meant that when Jesus see people making plans about, you know, who to marry, and they were gisting with one girl or another, Jesus did not even have that capacity or that opportunity to contemplate on any other thing. His mission is to die. The difference between Jesus and all other lambs in context now is that every other lamb was killed against their will. But Jesus laid down his life. And he continued to assert that. He says, My life was not taken, I laid it down. He was the one that committed his life for us, for the sake of our suffering, for the sake of our sorrows that are awaiting us as our fair reward. That's why Jesus presented himself. Now, being the Lamb of God, it means that it is Jesus that will carry the full fury, every pain, every torment, every affliction that we deserve. It will be put on Jesus. It will be him that will die so that we will live. If you reject him, you have rejected a great sacrifice. When he gave his life is his health. His life is his spiritual stature. His life is his dominion. His life is his holiness. His life is his power. His life is his glory. His life is his wealth. His life is his greatness. It's not just that he gave his breath for us. His life contains everything that makes him him. That's what he exchanged for us. So he gave us his health, he gave us his glory, he gave us his spiritual stature, the place he stood. That is what he gave as an exchange. So since he became sin for us, we will become that which he is with God. That is the mystery of exchange.
I want us to read these scriptures together. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Everybody, as loud as we can. 1, 2, go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 6. Isaiah chapter 53. Everybody, I just need you to read as careful and as meditative as possible. Isaiah 53. 1, 2, go. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Surely he has borne what? So the grief he carried was not his own. It's our own. Now, the Bible began to speak in verse 5 quickly. It says, but he was wounded for what? He was bruised for what? The chastisement of our peace was upon who? And with his stripes we are, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lamb of God. Anytime you say Jesus, what you are appealing to is the saving capacity. The person who is able to take the place of the grief, the pain, the vengeance that we are supposed to suffer. If you don't meditate on these things, you will not understand what is on your lip, because it will just be like a sound. If you mention Jesus anywhere, powers, principalities, dominion, rulers in darkness, they all understand that this is why when you mention the name of Jesus, what you are actually doing in the realm of the spirit is not a sound. Let's say I come before a situation that suggests hopelessness. I come before a situation that suggests condemnation. I come before a situation that suggests death. And then I come and I say, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm saying that I did not show up as Ephra Emmanuel Isaac. I have come in the name. If I give you an ID card or a ring that is mine in the days of kingdoms, if you present that thing anywhere, you have showed up in my name. The moment you come with that ring as a token, it's like an authentication to say that I am the one that sent you. Now, because Jesus is worthy, because Jesus is exalted, we now have the privilege to put in him so that it is in him we live, we move, and we have our being. So that it is in him we have our identity. So, anytime you need to make transaction, you say, in the name of Jesus. If you ask the Father for anything in my name, if you can ask in my name, you can withdraw. Hallelujah. I want to deliberate tonight about maximizing tonight.
if we can fully grasp, fully apprehend this singular mystery, that there is a great exchange that has been done in the spirit, that you can enter into the reward of a labor you did not labor for. Faith to believe will be measured into you. Tonight, I need you to know that the things God promised you, He didn't promise in the light of your good behavior. He promised you in the light of the work that Jesus has done. So, all of God's promises is inside Christ Jesus. It is only those who are in Him that can inherit it. Your own righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. This is why you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, your interaction with God is through Jesus Christ. Your fellowship with God is through Jesus Christ. And so you must apprehend the Lamb of God and His saving capacity and the mystery of exchange that has been initiated to give us capacity to assess things we could never imagine. It's the mystery of exchange. I want to give you just 3 minutes. I need you to look at your life. If there is anything Jesus has paid for that you are still carrying, it is pride. It is pride in the spirit. If by Jesus' stripe you are healed, tonight you are going to carry that sickness and nail it to His cross. It does not belong in my body. If by Jesus' stripes you were glorified, if by Jesus' stripes you were brought into favor, tonight everything that does not communicate the reality of salvation, everything that does not communicate the bounty of salvation, carry it and nail it to the cross where it belongs. Sickness does not belong in your body anymore. It belongs on the cross. Shame does not belong in your body anymore. It belongs in the cross. What is it you can still see in your life that does not reflect, does not communicate the glory of God? My brother, my sister, you have an opportunity to nail it to the cross.
The highest praise to the King. We give you the loudest praise to the King. We give you the highest
Why are you so quick to be tired? You are supposed to engage now. You are supposed to engage. Condemnation has no place in me. Curses cannot survive this great exchange. I know there is a curse in the family, but it's not on me. I am made. I am evolved. I am decorated. I am glorified in Jesus. Thank you.
all the shame. You have taken all the blame. You have taken all condemnation. You have taken all accusations. You have taken all the pain. You have taken all the shame. You have taken all the guilt. You have taken all the pain. You have made them yours. You have made them yours. Hallelujah. It does not belong in your body anymore. It has no power over you anymore. Because it has been paid for. Because legitimately, Jesus has taken the shame. He has taken the pain. He has taken the blame. He has taken the guilt. He has taken the condemnation. He has taken the sicknesses. And when he was taking all of them, something was being impacted to you. You were taking glory. You were taking decoration. You were taking favor. You were taking greatness because it's a great exchange. That is why we break ourselves down before him. Because what he has done for us, we will never be able to pay him. Even if we worship from now till eternity, we will never be able to pay him for this great, great salvation that he has brought for us. I give you
the highest.
Kumbaka, kumbaka, hey. Writer says you have taken all the pain, you have taken all the shame, you have taken condemnation, you have taken accusation. You didn't stop there. You made them yours. So you took it that I am the one that did it. So it means they are no longer looking for you. It means you are discharged and acquitted. Somebody else is serving that punishment. He has made them. The highest praise to the King, you have made them yours.
Highest praise to the King,
you have taken all the shame, you have taken all the blame, you have taken all accusations. You have taken all condemnation. You have taken all my shame. You have taken all my guilt. You have made them yours. You have made them yours. You have taken all my pain. You have taken all my shame. You have taken all my condemnation. You have taken all accusations. You have made them yours. thank you. We thank you. It is because of this, he has given him a name that is above every other name, so that at the mention of that name, Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. Your name is higher than the highest, mightier than the mightiest.
Your name, Jesus, your name.
Your name is
higher.
Nothing that followed you here causing affliction that will return with you. Are you getting set for an encounter tonight? We are about to initiate the mystery of exchange. Everything that does not belong, everything salvation has paid for, you are about to relinquish it. You are about to give it away. It's about to live your life forever. Where is that easy? I won't obey the name. Stop Egypt's jail. Do not disobey. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer. Listen, wherever you are, following us online, here on site, just lay hands on yourself before we begin to enforce the healing, before we begin to declare for restoration, for healing, for recovery. Make your way right with God. Embrace Jesus wherever you are. Embrace Him. You have seen this sacrifice. You have seen the love that He has shown by dying. And today you want to say, Lord Jesus, I will not resist. I will not fight. I will not disobey. I refuse to live in rebellion anymore. I want to be a partaker of this divine life. I want to benefit from this great exchange. This exchange that brings men into the divine. This exchange that took you into our low estate. This exchange, I want to experience it. The first step is salvation. It's reply to a life of up and down, a life of compromise, a life of disobedience against God. And you want to be a benefactor of this great exchange. Wherever you are, run out quickly. I actually brought this sermon because of you. Come quickly. God bless you. Come. God bless you. I want to be a partaker of this great exchange. Come. I want to wave goodbye. Goodbye. To all from home. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come. Come. Come, my brothers. Come, my sisters. Come. My confidence is in you alone. It begins with salvation. Come. Come. God bless you. Come. You are tired of the afflictions of Satan. Tired. Tired of all forms of oppression. And you know that it is only in Him that you have your deliverance. I mean, you exchange is available for those who are willing to surrender under His government. Brothers and sisters, just begin to talk to God, whatever He lays in your heart. Just tell Him what is in your heart. Tell Him, speak to Him. Before we pray together, just talk to Him. He's listening to you. He can hear you. He can hear you. Believe me, He is closer. He is closer than you can imagine. He can hear you. Talk to God wherever you are, everybody. I have been lured. I have been lured out of Christ. I don't know when I began to perceive myself outside Jesus. Talk to Him. Everybody outside, say this prayer with me as loud as you can. Say, Lord Jesus, today I make a deliberate decision to follow you, to serve you, and to live for you. I know you died for me. I know you rose from the dead for my glorification. So I believe in my heart that you died and I died in you. I confess with my mouth that you were raised from the dead and I resurrected in you. My life is no longer my own. The life that I now live, I live for Christ. I know that you died on the cross, and I confess that you were raised again. So I believe I am saved, and I confess that I am a child of God. I am born again. Come on, say it. I am born again. Congratulations to everybody. Congratulations. You have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So, it means that from today, the mystery of exchange, everything that is Jesus is now yours, and everything that sin predisposed and exposed us to has now been nailed to the cross of Christ. Accusation has no place in your life anymore. The mistakes of the past are buried forever. Because if everybody here and those following us, everybody here and those following us online who are suffering in one capacity or another, suffering for anything your son Jesus has paid for, today I declare, let it be terminated from their life in the name of Jesus Christ. I command the affliction of sicknesses, diseases, ailments, all forms of infirmities, leave their bodies now in the name of Jesus Christ. For by his stripes we were healed. Today, because of that finished work, I command HIV and AIDS, cancers, I command all forms of diseases, leave their bodies now in the name of Jesus Christ. It is taken from your bodies. It is nailed to the cross. It is nailed to the cross. And so I declare you are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody here under one yoke of accusation, one cause or another, suffering for the crimes of the wickedness of men, today I declare in the name of Jesus, all things are passed away if any man be in Christ. All things are become new. I declare you are separated from all ungodly narratives in the name of Jesus Christ. You are here and you walked into this hall with one sickness or another. Go ahead and begin to check your body now. Please, take this step of faith as I have led you. Begin to check every form of infirmity that buffeted you, that followed you to this place. If you couldn't put pressure on your leg, do it now. You couldn't stand, stand now. You couldn't bend, bend now. Because every form of infirmity, every form of sickness has been nailed to his cross, and by his stripes we are healed. And so I declare, no infirmity, no illness, no sickness, no evil is permitted to follow you out of this place. It has been paid for. Go ahead, go ahead. You couldn't hear well? Check. Go ahead. Any form of infirmity, go ahead and check. Because in the name of Jesus, we have enforced your healing. Can you take a moment, just 2 minutes, begin to appreciate God for all of his mighty intervention in the lives of his people? Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Begin to thank the Lord. Begin to worship him. Begin to glorify him. Begin to thank him for sicknesses that checked out of people's bodies. Begin to thank him for the yoke of captivity that has been lifted. Begin to thank him for divine interventions over the lives of his people. Go ahead and thank the Lord. Growths, all forms of growths, cancerous growths, they vanish from your bodies now in the name of Jesus. Infections, they are terminated from your bodies now in the name of Jesus. It doesn't belong in your body anymore. It is judged. It checks out of you. High blood pressure, hypertension, blood sugar. Listen, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. Listen. Be deliberate about what you do when you are brought to an atmosphere of possibilities. Wherever you are, be determined tonight that nothing that has been paid for will follow you out of this place. I just give you 2 minutes. Our time is far spent. Go to the Lord in prayers and flog these things out in the light of what has been shared tonight. If you are sick in your bodies, listen, you are sick in your bodies, there is an ailment. For those who have received their healing, there's no need to be a part of these ones. But there is an ailment, just come to this role, this passage. Quickly, hands will be laid on you, and there will be divine intervention and divine healing will come upon you. Be quick. However you are feeling, thank God for the mighty miracles that He has wrought. At the count of three, we are going to make a joyful noise in this place. We are going to shout, we are going to rejoice, we are going to celebrate, we are going to make a joyful noise, and walls of Jericho will fall down flat. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, right now! Where you had those sensations, those growths, check it. It has dematerialized. It is inside the presence of God that these things are nipped to the bone. And we make demand on these things because it was paid for. There are people who walked in here with infections. It has left their body forever. All kinds of transmitted diseases, all forms of infections, they have checked out of your bodies in the name of Jesus. There is someone that could not hear well. Defects in the ear. Somebody came here with a breathing difficulty. Your breath is very high. And while we were praying, the Spirit of the Lord came upon you. And suddenly that asthma left you. I need you, as I'm mentioning these cases, be checking your body and you will see the hand of God. Put pressure on that situation and you will see. With a report
of a last medical test at home and it left you worried, the Lord says to tell you that that infirmity has been cancelled from your life.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for divine interventions. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You have experienced the touch of God in the meeting tonight. Lift your hand above your head quickly, wherever you are. Can you celebrate Jesus? Can you celebrate Jesus? Listen, 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 listen. We are not just trying, to motivate those who are yet to receive their healing. The reason for this is because testimonies are a major part of even the meeting, because it strengthens the faith of others and it gives others the capacity to believe God for theirs. One more time, you have received the touch of God in the meeting. Lift your hand above your head unapologetically. Can you behold the numerous testimonies? Please package your offerings quickly, wherever you are. Package your offerings, package your tithes. Hepatitis, HIV and AIDS, cancers, they vanish in the presence of God. Listen, there are people that need to do their test so that you don't just come out and speak without proofs, although it's the part of faith. Confirm your test and come and share your testimonies. You can share it anonymously if you prefer on Sunday. You can give your testimony as a written one and Jesus will still be glorified. Package your offerings and your tithes very quickly. Father, we thank you, we give you glory, we give you praise for that which you do in our midst. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for supplies. We have brought a token as a gesture of worship and a gesture of honor. Let it be acceptable in your sight. Open the windows of heaven and pour upon us even much that we can access to favors and enlarge our storehouses. Bless your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can cast your a few announcements. By the grace of God, I will be ministering on the 24th of January at the Chakam Conference. That is Chakam 2025 at the city of Abuja. So if you are in Abuja or its environs, all roads lead to Julio Studio. We will be there bringing witness to the verdict of God and delivering his counsel accurately in the time and in the season. I believe it will be a platform of divine intervention and diverse encounters. So please, if you are in Abuja or its environs, make our time to be there. You can make reference to this flyer for more details. Also, by the grace of God, on Tuesday is our healing and communion service. It holds every Tuesday at Happy Good Hall, number 48 and 49 Chiroma Street, Angwanyelwa Television, by 5 p.m. Please make it a point of duty to be there. Every Sunday, here at TMC Hall, number 5, Garba Abbas, Barnawa GRA, we meet for the Anakazo experience. Make sure you reach out to your friends, your family, your loved ones, and your perceived enemies. Let them know that God is still in the business of changing lives and meeting people at the point of their needs here
in TMC Hall. The Anakazo Experience holds every Sunday by 5 p.m. Make it a point of duty to be with us, and God will continue to bless you. You can also share fellowship with us